Love Osho podcast brings you the real stories of the people whose lives have been inspired and transformed by Osho. We explore why thousands of people are falling in love with Osho and where to find them. Take a deep breath and enjoy the show.
Hello and thanks for tuning in. My name is Swaram and I'm the host. Today our guest is Ma Prem Pravira. Pravira took sannyas in 1981 and is a professional violinist, holistic counselor for musicians and cave diver. Pravira played the violin live for Osho and continues her career today playing with some of the most reputable ensembles in the world. Pravira, welcome to the show. How are you?
Thank you. It's really a pleasure to be here and I'm very well. Thank you.
Excellent. Okay, so to start, tell us a little bit about how you came across Osho.
Well, it's actually a little bit of a story with this. And I might tell you, it was in the early 80s, late 70s, early 80s. I was in Germany, just a young student doing music studies. And at that time, Osho Bhagwan, at the time he was called, was very much in the news in Germany, quite negative and sensational, but also some pro. And so there's a knowledge of him being around. And I had somebody that I really, really liked, admired, and was secretly in love with, a flutist from my orchestra, that I heard he had taken sannyas with Osho in Pune. And I had just heard about it, and I was very surprised because I had the impression it was just sort of like a guru with brainwashing and what, you know, all the negative stuff. And I thought, oh, if he is taking sannyas and going with this guru, there must be something else behind it. So I went. After I heard this, I went for the weekend to my hometown and visited my grandmother, very bourgeois lady, but very lively, and she loved to party, by the way. So there was both of these things, and I went to visit her. And because I had a really easy and beautiful relationship with her, I talked to her about it and told her about, hey, you know, I heard about this Bhagwan and I don't know what to think about it because, yeah, this friend of mine has taken sannyas. And she said, what is his name? He said, Bhagwan. Oh, wait a minute. And she goes to her library and opens it and takes out Hammer on the Rock, a book by Bhagwan, the Disciples Talks. And I was just like, my grandmother having this book in her home. She had never read it. And she just said, here, I give it to you. I think I give it to you. It's your gift. And when I went home, I read this from the top to the end. And I was just absolutely like coming home with what I read, what I felt while reading it. And I felt so close. And I thought, well, this is exactly what I've been sort of looking for a long time. And lo and behold, I was studying in Cologne. I went to wash my laundry after this weekend in the Belgische Viertel, where actually nearby where I lived. It's a quarter there. And I went to this laundromat. And so as I entered, I just saw red and orange. And it was huge piles of just orange clothes there, and a woman with a mala around her head and neck washing the laundry. And I was like, well, I had already now read about Osho, and I was just so gung-ho and so touched by it. And I went up to her and said, well, what is this? You're a sannyasin? And she said, yeah, well, we are having an ashram just around the corner. And I didn't know about that. And I just learned that all this is all like happening all at once. And so, come around. And so I did. I hesitated for about a few days walking around and being a little bit scared and didn't know. Well, it was sort of hippie-ish. And I went in and did my first Kundalini. And it was just absolutely a blast. And I felt from right on that this was going to be my path. And so I did a rebirthing, wanted to do a rebirthing group, my first group after doing many meditations, and I needed money. because I was a student. And so just happened to do this group and just a little bit, but and I just happened to get a phone call by this chamber ensemble saying, hey, we're in the middle of a tour right now down in Switzerland. You want to come down? Somebody had to leave and we need a replacement. You want to come down tomorrow? I said, yes, because it was good money for these 10 days that were remaining. So I went down and I said, well, you go to this town and there's a flutist that is also going to join the band and he's going to drive you to where we are in the countryside in Switzerland where the concerts are. So I met this, I went to the station, I arrived there and who was this flutist that was waiting for me with the car from the ensemble? It was the Swami, the new Swami that I was talking about, my sort of friend I hadn't been in touch with for a while, but still it was him, and we were just like, whoa. I told him about my whole Bhagwan, my love for Osho, and he, it was just amazing, the ride down to this, to the concerts. And his name was now Prem Wolfgang, Prem Love Wolfgang, the courageous one. So long story short, when I came back, I did the rebirthing group and I decided to take sannyas. So I took sannyas in Cologne at the ashram there. And so I had to, because Osho had just left India and had arrived in the United States. So my letter for a sannyas application was sent. I sent him to the States and I came back with my new name. And it was Prem Pravira, Prem Love Pravira, the courageous one. And that was just kind of mind-blowing, making that connection. Just how come Wolfgang and I have the same name? And interesting, after that, I never heard from Wolfgang again. I think he dropped sannyas, whatever, but he wasn't around anymore. I never saw him again. But actually, he was sort of catalyst for me to take the courage and go and meet Osho, so and become a sannyasin. So this is a very significant story for me. And I went then into the ashram in Cologne. I joined the ashram. I dropped my violin studies. I just felt like I really wanted to completely be with Osho and his work and for myself, on my path, on my spiritual path. And then after the ranch had been built, I met Osho for the first time at the first annual World Celebration. And that was, that was just unforgettable for me to sit with him in the big Buddha hall in the fields out there. And I'm so, so grateful. Yeah.
Tell us more about the first time you saw Osho in person.
The first time I saw Osho in person was actually at the drive-by at this first annual World Celebration. Before the big festival meditation started, he already had gone around in his car. I think that's what it was. Yeah, I saw him in the car and just driving by. He wasn't stopping at the time yet. He was just going by and zoop. And then for me, certainly the first time sitting with him, I think there were, I don't know how many people were there. They were talking about 15,000 people or 10,000, I don't know, in this Buddha hall together, and Osho up front in his chair, and he was in silence. And so we were just sitting, meditating. And for me, that's where I really experienced really meditation and opening and being completely in harmony with the energy around me and with and the strong connection with my master. I really felt this connection from my heart, from my being, with his amazing, incredible energy spreading and being all around us. Yeah, beautiful memory of encountering Osho.
Normally, when I think of Rajneeshpuram, I associate that time with all the mess that happened, you know, all the controversies of the latest period, but I forget about the energy field that Osho and you all together created there. And I just had this image of 15,000 people meditating together with an alive master in silence. And I can only imagine how
powerful the meditation must have been.
Yeah, it was amazing. And yeah, yes, you hear, because one hears about all the controversial, but really my experience was also that, but also this amazing Buddha field energy, Osho's energy around. And this is basically what kept me there all this time, having this, being immersed in it. And yeah, that was really why I was there and why I stayed there. Because yes, it wasn't always easy, you know, there was a lot of challenges, but that was part of the, that was part of the deal, part of being in a Buddha field, living with an enlightened master. Yeah, shaken out of your routine, out of your structures and mindset, and just freeing it all up. That was also something that I accepted, whatever was going on, that was part of growing, part of coming to myself, growing into meditation, into my energy. And this is really important to remember. And to know that there was also this absolute bliss, living, having the opportunity and the big honor for me actually to be around in this Buddha field with a living master. And it was gorgeous. I have so many good memories also with my friends and my fellow sannyasins in the Sangha, and going through together through all these challenges and upheavals that really got us also together. Yeah, I wouldn't want to miss a single day. Yeah.
That's a great reminder, and it's beautiful. Thanks for sharing it. So you played the violin live for Osho during satsang and before his discourses and during the drive-by. And you just mentioned before that you saw Osho for the first time during the drive-by. So first of all, for people who don't know much about that, describe what is a drive-by and how the music comes into it, because you and other sannyasins at some point started playing music during this famous drive-by.
Yeah, so like a drive-by is driving by, with other words. Osho had the daily habit of, he liked to go out, I think it was 2 o'clock in the afternoon, for a spin around the ranch and just to the very end of the property and back. There we had built a road, and then he would go through slowly, and more as people were lining up, he would start going slower and waving. And then at one point, I think it was the third annual world celebration, I think it was Italians that had come to visit for this big festival, decided to, they had some percussion instruments, guitar and some, you know, musical instruments. They decided to just sort of, while we were waiting for Osho to drive by on the road, and so we were standing on the side of the road greeting him in namaste, and then, you know, and then we would wait till he would come back and greet him for a second time. And that would sometimes take, yeah, almost an hour till he would be back, or 3/4 of an hour, because it was a big property. And during that time, waiting, and also when he would slow down, and, you know, it would take quite some bit of time for him to come by, these Italians decided to just make some music and pass the time together and having fun and celebrate, you know, till Osho came along and drove by. And then it was just that's where the big surprise was, that he really loved the music, and he decided to stop in front of the musicians and roll down his window and sort of start waving his hands like dancing in his seat, you know, and with the music, and really sort of encouraging conducting. And people were just going out of their minds and joy and celebration. The musicians were just jumping up and down. Such a surprise. He stopped. What a blessing, Osho. Really, yeah, that was really a personal connection. And I just happened to be that my violin was brought to me to the ranch from Cologne.
I was a little shy at the beginning because I had some doubts whether I could play still or what. But it was just, I had some encouragements from my ex-boyfriend to just go and, yeah, just play and have fun. And so I went and joined this Italian group there, and we started playing, and it was just wonderful. So much joy, so much. My ex was ecstatic, and especially then when Osho, we saw his car approaching, and when he would slow down and actually stop and roll down the window and then look at each one of us and really giving each one of us, yeah, a moment of attention, and it was like an energy darshan for me. That was, yeah, because I had never been to Pune One, and I had regretted it because I would have had loved to be really sitting close to Osho and have a personal connection, look in his eyes, and be seen by him, and having, you know, these energy darshans they were talking about. Well, I never have, you know, I never had experienced that, but now I saw myself being there on the ranch in the summer dust, side of the road, playing my violin like crazy, the Italian tarantellas with everything around, and Osho stepping right in front and looking at me and dancing with me. And it, for me, that was, whoa, that was my energy darshan. And I, so that continued every day. And later on, I went, and there were many, then people really started to put out all kinds of instruments or singing and clapping. And then there was Taru, Indian Taru, at the beginning of the lineup at Lao Tzu Grove, where Osho lived. There was a gate, and the Indian musicians with around Taru and Nividana with this big drum, and Hasya, and like all the people that were working around there and living there lined up there. So, and when I ended up living there too in that area, and so I also went, if I had the opportunity, into that with that group, and we did all the kirtans with Taru and played for Osho, and it was just ecstatic moment every day we had with Osho, and together singing, dancing, and just being full of life. And then afterwards, going back to work, everyone back to the workstation. So it was a wonderful lunch break for us to meet our master this way.
There are videos of those drive-by and Osho encouraging you musicians with his hands, and you can definitely tell that Osho was enjoying it so much. And you can see this, you know, the musicians, I always wondered, how is it possible that you could play music, jump like crazy, and look at Osho and getting this energy? I mean, like, how is that possible?
That's a good question, because I look at those videos myself now, see myself in that, and I don't know. I really don't know how I did it. Crazy, but it was just pure energy. And, well, I just went with it. When the master stands in front of you and encourages you to sort of just let go, well, you do. I couldn't not let go. The thing was just, you know, I had to still, there was something in me. Of course, I had to continue the music, because especially later on when we went to play also at Jesus Grove directly, and we were just a few musicians basically being responsible for the dance music and Osho and all the other sannyasins connecting through dance and music and singing. We were providing the music to that, and the background. It was very important. So somehow, I don't know, I just held on to life almost, and my fiddle while I was jumping to keep my bow on the string somehow, and managed sort of somewhat a sound out of there, so it was recognizable as a tune. But it was a miracle.
it's a miracle. You know, just looking at those videos, it's physically impossible to jump at that high, going totally crazy, out of mind, and at the same time managing to play some nice music.
God, I know. He was a cheek. I mean, he loved that, and he loved to tease, and he saw that and the joy, and so you would like step out of the car and be right in front of you, and you would just dance with him, jumping up, and he loved it. He had so much fun. And then he would, you know, turn to the other musicians and then eventually go. We would follow him, and then he would, other sannyasins would line up on the side, like along the path, both sides. Osho would dance with the people slowly approaching to the house. But then sometimes he would just suddenly turn around to us musicians, woo, and just go, wow, to us. It was like unexpected. And it was like amazing, amazing. Oh, what a joy ride. It was so exciting. Yeah.
It's infectious. Even just watching those videos, you can see Osho in total delight, in ecstasy, with the chicken's smiley face. And the guys are completely gone, you know, like in bliss, in ecstasy. And I've never seen any person in my life so happy like you.
Oh yeah, that was a blast. That was incredible. It was a challenge, really. Also, you know, we're talking, you know, like in the Jesus Girl phase, for example, basically we would be playing twice, you know, when he would come in. So he would park his car and then come step out, and then along the path where we were dancing and playing. So, you know, we had this, and then we would go inside, and only the musicians would go in with him. And inside Jesus Grove was, that was the time when reporters from all over the world were allowed to come in and interview Osho. So there were reporters in there in the room, and some commune sannyasins taking turns being invited to sit there. And of course, at the time, at the beginning, still Sheila and musicians. So it was a real big honor for me as a musician to be able to go in there and to sit with just 30 people maximum in a room together with Osho, and being right. I mean, like I was sitting basically two and a half meters maybe away from him from his chair, because when he would get up, we had to get up. Also, I immediately start playing and sitting for sometimes an hour and a half, 2 hours in a very air conditioned room, very cool. Fingers get frozen and stiff, you know. So, being ready like this, remembering the tune. Also, what it was, because we had two different tunes, one for in and one for out, and I had a bit of a memory. My memory is sometimes challenged, also music, to remember the tune, especially after this interview and the sitting with Osho talk, speaking and being just in bliss and in meditation. And then, whoa, he would get up and you had to sort of, get up and remember the tune, start it up and play it, and being able to play it. We'll have to be really together for this at the same time, you know, blissed out and very rooted down to earth and being clear and in my head, you know, to be able to pull that off. So that was exciting.
Yes, and it sounds like everyone around Osho was constantly challenged to be in the present moment in different ways. The master was working on each of you in different ways. So as a musician, you had to be totally present to be able to perform your part in that context.
Yeah, absolutely. You're totally right. You know, it was direct. I experienced a really direct work of being present in the moment and being ready for anything, any challenge, any surprise, because there were a lot of surprises. You could never, you could never plan or think, oh, yeah, it's going to go like this and then we're going to do like this. No, no. Osho really loved to just rattle things up and just do things differently and, you know, and just move differently. And so it was wonderful. You had to be just so much there, present, ready to go. And yeah, and for as musicians perform, you know, make music. So, yeah, I learned so much from this. I'm forever grateful. I've had this opportunity.
I want to ask you about how, you know, what you have learned from Osho and how you apply this to the music. But just before we get there, just one question on the music for the Osho meditations, because obviously it's clear that music plays a big part in the world of Osho, even today. Particularly, Osho left us the white robe meditation where music is played before listening or watching one of his discourses. So as far as you know, is there any advice from Osho on how the music for the white robe should be played?
Oh, I've played many white robes, but you know what? I was not, Osho developed the white robe in Pune too. And it was actually, I went to Pune too at the beginning, when it was started back up after the ranch. And I was there for like, 6 months. And then I left to go study. And it was afterwards that Osho created this white robe. So I'm not really the first source, to be honest, to be talking about, you know, what his instructions directly were. And also what I recall, because I played the white robe also sometimes in Cologne many, many years later. And it had a little bit changed a little bit. I don't know what the original indications were. But what was important for Osho always to really, when there's music, to really let yourself go into it, to let go into the sound and to become the music and the dance and the movement that comes out of you naturally and just be total. And that was also in the white robe. Just be complete. And just one of the instructions was to get the music slow and slow, to let it come to a peak of becoming faster and faster and going up also in pitch, and to really sort of bring it up and everybody up. And then suddenly, boom, stop. You know, like in the dynamic meditation, the stop. So this sudden switch going from action and from, whoa, energy out into boom, silence, like turning the energy inside instead of, you know, having it thrown out before, out, expressed it and boom, bring it back in. That was always one of his, yeah, if I felt like we're one of his powerful tools of really making this extreme energy shift, having that happen in people, and therefore a possibility for meditation to happen in that moment when you suddenly whoop, are in silence. So that's what I remember for me, what the white robe, what the message was.
Yes, I think that's very much in line with Osho's approach, in my understanding. You know, it's quite clear that Osho wanted this peak and then the silence, you know, the contrast between extreme action and then you go in, as you described. It's reflected in some of the music for the white robe, especially the original music. And then I think something got lost a little bit. But, you know, personally, I love when there are those tunes that they follow these patterns of peak and silence. You know, it kind of helps the energy to really go into this rhythm. So talking about your life and your profession as a musician, how the experience of playing live for Osho changed the way you play violin today?
Yeah, first of all, I came back to playing my violin actually again. Because before I went to the ranch, before I went, you know, when I joined the communes, I had actually dropped my violin the whole professional career, studying at the music academy and stuff. I had dropped that whole thing. And so af- for me, what changed was it brought me back into connection with my instrument and with myself. And what changed was, like, I really knew from then on that the violin could really be my tool, or one of my an important tool for my own meditation, to connect with it and myself. Because it's always, it's a connection between my instrument and myself, the sounds, but also to my way of communication to the world, of sharing. Yeah, sharing with people and other musicians. Very important for me. What changes the probably, the quality. I, from then on, started making music and had become quite a different dimension. So it's really something that I wanted from inside. And looking also while playing for that connection, that meditative space, basically, in myself and connecting with energy around me. Also while playing, that's basically what really, really changed for me.
And in terms of you and the Osho friends, sannyasins, and the Osho community, if you like, do you still play at Osho events?
Yeah, I spend quite a bit of time. I sort of, you know, when I'm not on tour, I love being in Cologne and the Buddha field there around the Uta Cologne. And there is the satsang band. And whenever I'm there and when I can, I love playing in the satsangs. Yeah, the Sunday mornings. It's just a really wonderful.
We interviewed Namatirtha, and we talked a lot about Osho Uta, and Chetan and I have been there once, and we really loved it, and we did the meditation with live music, and it was very, very beautiful. So good to know that you will hang around there, so next time you're there, we may find a way to enjoy your music.
It's not often that I'm able to come, you know, so it's rather rare, but it's, you know, whenever I can, I come. So it's not guaranteed I'll be there when you're there, but we, you know, but whenever I can, I really enjoy it so much, and it's lovely to be part of that Buddha field there too.
And in terms of your profession and current work, of course, now with this quarantine and coronavirus situation, you know, we are all kind of on hold. Our lives are on hold in a way. But what are your projects, and what are you up to, and what will you hopefully be doing as soon as the situation comes back to normal?
Well, you know, to be honest, actually, during the lockdown, actually, I've been not feeling any inclination towards projects or thinking about it with the violin or anything. I've just been sort of here in the moment. And I've been just during the corona lockdown, really going very much into going inside meditation and doing yoga and chanting and sharing and inquiring also in myself, you know, with all this really extreme change professionally also. And I've been actually not really much being with my violin. I feel like really wanting to come back now, but it's been more like a time now of an inner going inside and getting in touch with my basic trust also that things will work out, things will go their way, and I'll be fine. Everybody will be fine, I think. And, you know, existence takes its way and it takes care of us. And yeah, so, you know, I've been very much more into this kind of thinking mode or feeling mode, you know.
Okay, wonderful. So we are heading towards the end. I have three final questions. The first one is, what's your morning routine? How does your morning look like in the first couple of hours of your day?
Yeah, now that has really, I finally have a routine I could establish being home so much. And so I start, since Corona lockdown, I started a beautiful routine of every morning at 9 o'clock having either online yoga with my different yoga teachers all over the world, or I started a running routine, getting stronger also in my knees. And I, every morning I start something for my body, for myself, but also meditation. So at the end of the yoga session, always a moment of being with myself and being quiet and feeling into where I'm at the moment. And then just going to breakfast and just having a real tranquil morning. I really enjoy that and I treasure this before I start my day.
Okay, the second question is, what's your favorite meditation and why?
Oh, that is, cannot pin that down really, because I have, it depends on where I am at with myself in my current life, in my presence, what meditation speaks to me, you know. It may be Kundalini, it may be dynamic, but it may be also just being silent and doing sort of a Vipassana meditation. But what I really also got into, and that at the moment, I must say, I really, really enjoy that, is the Om meditation, the Gayatri mantra, which it's been already accompanying me for many, many, many years, this Gayatri mantra. I've been doing this lately a lot with the 777 days with Deva, Premal, and Miten every evening here. For me at the moment, the humming and the chanting and, you know, the sounds and bringing that inside and then silence is just very, very, very strong for me. And I love it at the moment. It's beautiful.
So the last question is, you leave the Osho experiment. What does it mean to you personally to be with Osho today in 2020?
Yeah, well, it is really, you know, it's this reminding myself, you know, to stay present, first of all, to really, you know, be present in the moment and to stay in the moment and just to follow my passion, follow my joy and where my love, my heart, where it leads and follow my heart. Yes. It just going with that and just being completely present with this and having the courage to face also the challenges and fears that may be coming up alongside. I don't know if you know, I mentioned I just got into scuba diving a few years ago and I loved it so much. And I kind of got into cave diving and I'm totally hooked in it. And it is, you know, it needs a lot of courage, but it, you know, I just felt like, and it's a dangerous thing, but it felt just my heart was just pulling me there. So I just followed it and it's such a beautiful journey. For me, it's a real journey of going inside, doing cave diving or doing any diving, but especially cave diving. It really is my meditation. So taking whatever I do also as my meditation, whether I'm playing the violin or diving or being with the client, because I'm also a coach and counselor. So being present, being fully there with all my heart and my love, that is basically what, for me, I understand of what Osho's message is and what I understand.
Well, thank you so much for your beautiful sharing. It's been a real pleasure connecting with you. That's the end of the show. And I'm so happy that we put on record the story of playing music during the drive-by, because I've always wondered how that was possible looking at those amazing videos that are still available, thankfully. So really, thank you so much, Pravira. It's been great chatting with you.
Thank you, Swaram. It was a real pleasure to talk to you. It was really easy. It's wonderful to connect again. And yes, thank you so much for having me on your show. It was a pleasure.
Lots of love and a big hug.
Big hug, you too.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it and leave a review. Visit loveosho.com for more episodes, blogs, or to connect with us.